Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Greene, Iowa, and today is Sunday, November 7th, and we are marking All Saints Day in worship this weekend. I want to share with you for All Saints Day two readings. The first one is from Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own, for then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Here ends the first lesson. And then the Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't this an interesting story for All Saints Day? The Bible is full of examples of faith, stories of great saints of the early church, but this poor widow is a lot to live up to. I don't know what you give to church or what you give to charity. I don't keep track of that, but I know that when I put in money, when I give money in the offering, I've never yet put in everything that I had. I've never put in my last 2 cents. This seems like a great opportunity, by the way, to mention that we do have online giving, so you can find information about that on our church website, or I'll link to it in the description of this video. But I do not expect you to give everything you have. I truly believe this story works as an example of the principle that everybody has something to offer, even if it's only a penny. And I've said before, I truly believe a congregation where everyone contributes, I don't know, a dollar or two a year, that would be healthier than a church that has millions, but only from a few people carrying all the load. But even saying everyone can give something, I do not expect anyone to give everything you have. So if this widow's gift is the standard for us to live up to, that's a lot to live up to. So as we hear this story in the context of All Saints Day, my question is, to be a saint, does that mean you need to give away your last 2 cents like this widow does? Do we need to be quite that saintly? And the answer, of course, is no. No, giving away everything you have is not what makes you a saint. In fact, I think it's the opposite. This widow makes her generous gift because she is already a saint, as are you. At our church council meeting on Wednesday, I talked about All Saints Day and the definition of saint, and I like how Rolf Jacobson puts it. This is from his book here, Crazy Talk, a not-so-stuffy dictionary of theological terms. And he writes, "In the New Testament, the word saint never refers to a special class of super-duper Christians. Rather, it always refers to all Christians. Saints are not saintly because of what they do, but because of what Christ has done for them. Christian saints are identified not by their own wisdom, good works, holiness, or wholeness, but by the fact that they belong to Jesus. And that means, of course, that you are qualified to be a saint." So a saint is anyone who belongs to God, anyone who recognizes the gift of life God has given them. This poor widow gave her gift out of faith, out of trust, gratitude to God. I hope that's always why we give. God made her a saint by creating her and redeeming her, and she realized what God had done for her in a way that the materially rich people around her didn't, couldn't. I'm not one to say that wealth is necessarily bad, and I hope that I use the abundance that I have for good, but wealth is dangerous because it tempts you to trust in it. Wealth tempts you to believe that you've earned it, to put your faith in yourself and your bank account and your car and your house and your full chest freezer and in all sorts of stuff that are not God. Wealth is dangerous because it tempts you to believe in something other than God as your source of life and freedom and security. I hate it when people glamorize poverty, when people who have the privilege of being born into circumstances of wealth and security in a wealthy nation who have abundance or an inheritance, when we comfort ourselves by saying, well, those people might be poor and, you know, that's sad, but isn't it great how happy they are? Have you ever heard people do that? It happens on mission trips sometimes because it's a great way to make ourselves feel better about all the stuff that we have when we know that on some level it's unfair that I have the ability to travel and spend my free time helping people who are literally living on the street. And yet there's some truth to that idea too. Not that it's good to be poor, but that it's dangerous to be rich. Wealth, and I mean the kind of wealth that's more owning two or more pairs of shoes rich, not the private rocket trip to space rich, even the owning two or more pairs of shoes sort of rich, that distorts our perspective. This woman has the perspective to recognize what God has done for her, and in response, she gives everything she has to God, knowing that no earthly wealth can compare to God's grace. It's interesting because the treasury Jesus is watching is a collection box at the temple for a fund to help the poor. Over and over in Scripture, God says to help the poor, and the most common examples of the poor that the prophets give are orphans and widows. Those are the people called out as needing help. There's others too, of course, but those are the examples that show up most often in the Bible. So this poor widow is donating to the fund intended to help her. Now, I say intended to help her because sometimes temples and churches fail at the task they're called to. And Jesus points that out in this passage at the beginning. And as a professional religious leader who does sometimes walk around in long robes, you can't see it, but it's hanging right there, this is one of the toughest passages in the Bible. And I hope that this story is about a grateful woman giving to God out of joyful faith, joyfully responding to the good news of God's love for her. And I hope that's always why we give. I hope that this story is not a poor woman being exploited by the powerful religious leaders, manipulated by religion to feel guilted into giving away her last pennies. If you've ever felt manipulated by giving, if you've ever felt manipulated into giving, especially manipulated by religion and faith, I'm sorry. And I ask for your forgiveness. Faithfully talking about money is hard. There's a lot of traps to fall into. So no, you do not need to give away all of your money to be a saint. In fact, you cannot make yourself a saint by giving away all your money. I know Reformation Day was last weekend, but I don't think it can be overemphasized. You cannot buy your way into heaven. Our hope is not found in money, wealth, or in doing good deeds, or even in sinning less. Our hope is found in what God has done for us, for you. So today, we celebrate those saints who have died because our hope is in Jesus Christ. We celebrate and honor those who have come before us, those who have taught us the faith, who've impacted us, and those who have, yes, given money so that we have a church building. But we honor them not because of the good things they've done, but because of what God did for them, claiming them as beloved, naming them as beloved children of God, Jesus giving his life for them. And that love is what inspired them to do the good they did. And that's a long way of saying God's love comes first. Our love is always in response to God's love. Our action is always in response to God's action. Always, period. Our hope on All Saints' Day and always is in what God has done for us already. As Hebrews says, Jesus Christ, our Savior, has removed sin by sacrificing himself. Christ has borne our sins. No more sacrifices are necessary, which is good because nothing we could sacrifice would be enough. We don't have the power to save ourselves. No matter how good and saintly you might be, no matter how well you live out the commandments we talked about last week, loving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, loving your neighbor as yourself, no matter how willing you might be to empty your bank account into the offering, you are still going to die. It's not going to be enough. You can't save yourself from that. But Jesus has done what we cannot do. Jesus has died and has risen again, and in rising again, he's broken the power of the grave. Your salvation is guaranteed by Jesus. Your eternal future is secure, and in response to that promise, that guarantee, we live in love. We love God with all our heart. We love our neighbor as ourselves, as God enables us. We give thanks to God. We use our stuff. We offer our stuff and our money, and more importantly, we offer our lives for God to use, all out of gratitude. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen. I hope to see you again next week.